team and never lets you down. We're the only team old Carlton knows. With all the champions, they like to send us. We'll keep our end up and they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
A very good morning as you begin your AFL footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your host today, myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford, Mel Hall and Jesse Goldsworthy. How are we all this morning?
Woohoo! Oh, up and about.
Game day.
Game day.
Yep. One to go for two in a row.
Exciting, wouldn't it, get two in a row?
It'll be awesome. Good.
We're still a chance. We're still somehow, a chance. Even with GWS winning.
Yeah, that's not. Anyway. Anyway, Mel, what have we got to look forward to on the show today?
Well, we are going to look at Blues news, AFL news, who's putting their hands up for the seconds, and preview the game against Gold Coast Suns today at 11:45.
11:45 bounce down here.
Special guest live interview today is WA's own and 1995 Premiership player Matt Clappe. We cross live to the hyphen David Rees-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front. We provide information on WA Blues events and anything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour.
Thanks you for that, Mel. Now, Craig, you know that every week we couldn't do the show without our loyal sponsors.
No, look, we definitely can't. We'd like to thank WA Blues' major sponsor, Hyundai WA, Platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, Master Picture Framers, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers, and the soccer player ICU Finance Group.
Alton from Carlton. thank you for that, Craig. While you're on a roll, mate, let's go straight into Blues news.
Okay, well, it probably starts off with a little bit of bad news during the week with former Carlton wing halfback Graham Whitnell, of course, the father of our past captain in Lance Whitnell, passed away during the week, so we pass on our deepest sympathies and condolences to the Whitnell family.
He was only 69, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I saw him play. He wasn't a bad footballer, you know. He left the Blues, again, he come from the zone up the Bendigo way, and he left the Blues. He didn't get on too well with Jezza, and he left the Blues, and he was only gone for a year, and then they told him to come back, and he got him back. But he didn't play in the Premiership, and then he went back, and I think he won Best and Fairest for that league up there the year after.
Yeah,
so he was a very, very handy footballer. So, yeah, condolences to the Whitnell family.
Never good. Going forward with today's game, we've made basically one change.
Eddie's back.
Eddie's back in. So at the expense of Matt Owies, which I think he probably needs a game back in the twos. Yeah.
That means so. Does that mean Eddie will get to 350 on the same game as Murphy?
Murph,
300?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So, always has been named as an emergency, though, as has Mark Murphy, Levi Casbolt and Mitch McGovern. So,
do you think will be the medical sub?
Murphy. There is still doubts over TDK, which I think if that happens, they might. We think it probably might be Casbolt, basically based on the ruck. But
I'd give him
McGovern.
I would bring in McGovern.
I don't see how it can be Levi because
he hasn't played a game. He's got no match fitness.
You look at McGovern. He played so well in the seconds last week. You know, he had two goals, four behinds.
Yep, two.
Is that
goals,
right?
Four.
Yeah.
And he was flying around. He was crushing through packs and stuff as well, taking a few good clunks.
Yeah.
And look, our injury list, we still know that as well, too. It's still fairly lengthy, but, yeah.
Are we getting anyone back from injury this week?
Eddie.
Levi.
Yes, okay. Everyone else, you can pretty much put a line through for the year. Yeah. So,
put a fork in it there,
Yeah,
done.
So that's basically it. It was,
did we also see during the week that there are also we've talked about this, and I know Jesse, you're on my side here about signing Eddie again for letting go another round.
Yep, I'm all for it.
We're on Team Eddie, but they've also the club have actually come out and said they're actually looking at a contract for 10 years for him to be involved.
I don't think it was a contract. I think David Teague said that he'd love Eddie to hang around for as long as he could because it's not so much his on-field leadership, it's also what he does behind the scenes with the Indigenous boys and just teaching his craft to the young kids.
Yep.
Teague said he'd love to have him around forever. So
I'd love to know the sort of advice Eddie would be giving to someone like a Sam Petrescu Seaton at the moment, and the sort of guidance he'd be giving him, because obviously he's getting thrown up in SBS's name's getting thrown up in trade talk and all that sort of stuff a lot at the moment. Yeah. It'd be interesting to hear what Eddie's advice would be to him.
It'd be interesting.
Go and have a go, mate.
Yeah.
That could be it.
Yeah. Apply some pressure when you're actually in a game. Go and get the ball. Mm. Don't hang out. That'd be a couple of things I'd be saying, but that's just my opinion.
I think Eddie might be a little bit more indirect and maybe
probably
just
a little bit more technical.
I can't swear on the radio. So
yeah.
That's your Blues news. Yes, Mel, you're putting your hand up?
No.
Okay, all right. So as we've got the Gold Coast Suns very shortly, actually, let's do a quick preview of the game, mate, and then after that we'll go into Carlton Respects.
All right, no problem. So, we just touched on the ins and outs. It's 12th v 15th today at 11:45 a.m. Our time. We're one game and percentage outside the eight, which is amazing to think we're even still a chance with some of the football we've put out this year has been.
And not so much that, the injuries as well.
And the injuries as well, yeah. Like it's critical mass.
It just goes to show that we ain't that far away, really.
We're coming.
That game against...
Don't bring that up.
What's the old Paddy Cripps? The Blues are... The Blues are... Yeah, we won't say that.
Yeah. What, rebuilding?
The Blues are back. The old Blues. The Blues are back, whatever.
Mate, we're actually a game and a half out at the minute.
Oh, because of GWS?
Yeah, GWS.
But it'll be a half a game after today.
Look, West Coast won't win the next three games for the rest of the year, so that'll...
We can hope. We can only hope.
I think I've got them finishing outside the eight.
How good was it last week to see? Like, I know I can't stand Collingwood, but to watch them take down.
I know this is a Carlton show, but and Mel was there. Yep. We were actually in the shoe bar.
Yeah.
Right? We just went there to watch a bit of footy, have a drink. And just before the game, Collingwood Eagles, it just packed with Eagles supporters. It
was fully packed.
Then all of a sudden it was so loud. And I'm telling you, before half time,
not just at the game. They don't just leave the game early. They leave the pub early too.
They've got no idea. Anyway, let's not talk about them.
No. Can I quickly actually just add, family friend Chris Mayne retired during the week.
Yes.
Congratulations, Chopper. Fantastic career. And
enjoy coaching at Fremantle.
Yeah, exactly, with Justin Longmire.
Yeah.
So today, back to the game. I want to know, I wonder if Bad Habits will repeat itself or... You know, we've heard Andrew Russell and stuff. There's been some snippets of him talking about how when he first wanted to come to the club, he wanted to bring high expectations and good habits. So, you know, we've lost a bad game. We've probably played our worst footy, and then the week later played our best footy of the year. So I want to see how we go about today. Can we back up our last week's performance today? And also, let's make today about us. You know, let's not worry about what Gold Coast may do or what Gold Coast might have. Like, let's worry about what we have and what they are going to do to stop us and how they're going to stop us, especially with our new look, Carlton dynamic sort of forward line with Charlie back. I think it just allows Harry to have that space. It's one extra person they've got to worry about. He was leading up at the ball a bit more, Harry, against St Kilda. And when he's leading at the ball, taking those marks.
I'm excited to see what Charlie's going to be like this week because we all saw him, like he was a little bit sheepish, he was a little bit like standoffish, you know.
I think...
Craig, why are you looking at me like that?
I think he's just building. Like, he'll get there, Charlie, but he looked great. Again, which Carlton mid will stand up? Is it going to be a Kennedy today? Who's going to be in around the contest? I can see Kennedy having a real, like, he's been great. He's had a good run.
I've been rating him every
having
week.
Having that blinder sort of today, you know, like that 30-plus disposals. Again, if we make the game a bit shorter, play the short kick a little bit more, I think in recent times, like against North Melbourne, we had our shortest side for the year.
Yeah.
And we played the long ball, the most that we've played all year. So last week we played that shorter kick. We were able to open up the corridor a little bit more and expose the corridor. So I'm looking to hopefully do that against a Gold Coast outfit. Like we really, if we're fair dinkum, we should be not just winning, but winning convincingly.
At least 10 goals today.
Again...
When was our last win?
Mick Malthouse, 2014.
That's what I was going to say. I can't remember it.
Yeah, so
it's been that long.
Something Mick did. Lockie O'Brien.
That's the only thing he done.
Well, we won a final with him.
Yes, we did.
We won a final. Lockie O'Brien, he had a good game last week, but now again, can he back it up and put in a solid 3 or 4 week block before, you know.
I hope he can for his sake.
Yeah, I hope he can for his sake because his left foot hitting targets last week is something that
his disposal. You know, there's never been a doubt on his disposal.
Yeah,
it's
And it's that link that we've missed, unfortunately. Like, you
the
know,
heart.
You, mm. Well, that's it. You got Cottrell, who gives you the heart, gives you the run, gives you everything, but the skill set probably isn't there.
I think he's still coming, Cotters. I think he's got a long way to go.
He has got a long way to go, but I think O'Brien's a natural winger. His disposal by foot is something we lack, and we're trying to be a kicking side. So if you've got a good kicker, play the kickers. Big day for Fisher. Needs to hit the scoreboard. Needs to get, you know.
Needs to get a few touches, Fish.
Big 20 sort of disposal game.
Is your mate Stocker, is he in the side?
Yeah. Maybe today might be a good chance to possibly push him up.
See, he's had the haircut too, mate.
They have
one of the best midfields and underrated midfielder going around.
Yeah, Braden
took Miller.
Took Miller. Yeah, he is a jet.
Now, we need to lock on him.
Ed Curnow.
Has to,
I think you'd have to put a lockdown role on him because he gets you 35 disposals. And he's damaging.
He sets them up.
He's damaging, quick.
Well, he slaughtered Richmond.
He did. Yeah. TDK and Soss, if TDK does get up, it'll be interesting to see how they go. How many is today's my question for Big H, not how
10.
Does he...
I hope he gets 10 so Fisher gets a kicker to Harry on his other...
Oh, yes, of course, the tattoo. Yeah, we do need that. And, of course, finishing it off, Big Charles again, his second game. Hopefully, you know, he just finds a little bit more rhythm, gets a couple, can take a couple of clunks. If he can hit the scoreboard again, it's just an added bonus for us. But, yeah, we need a convincing win, especially if we're still a chance.
So very quickly, what's the margin?
60 points.
Oh, I'd say 38. 53.
26. Anyway, all right.
Thank you very much for that.
Now, today is the Carlton Respects game. And we're going to let Mal give us a rundown and tell us all about Carlton Respects.
Well, guys, we all sit here with our Respect Round shirts on. This is probably one of my games of the year that I am the proudest Blues supporter ever. We've been doing Carlton Respects now. This is our fourth year since 2016. The whole initiative from Carlton was it gets behind... women's respect for women and I'm getting choked up already.
You'll be right.
But it is incredible. I'm just going to play a little snippet of a clip that the club have shared, just touching on Carlton Respects.
Is that today or what?
Yeah, it's coming. Just hang on.
Today, tomorrow.
If you press play.
Yeah. Today, tomorrow. I don't know why it's not working.
Today, tomorrow. Maybe it's not working. So.
Okay. Well, right, anyway, if it's not working.
Was that with the lady that came down and talked to the group?
That's exactly right.
It was fantastic.
Yep. And it was absolutely, I don't know why.
I think you can find it on the Carlton Facebook page
and it's on the Carlton website. Yeah. It's absolutely incredible. And the way that the club has taken, we're the first AFL club to actually take this initiative, and it's, pull your socks up, guys. That's what it is. We wear the orange socks. Our players will be wearing them today. It's get behind it because this happens. Domestic violence is something that affects one in every six females, and then every 10 minutes someone is admitted to hospital from a domestic violence, and I've personally been affected by this. So for me, this is raw, and this is where I go, I'm proud to be a bloody blue, and I'm proud that the club do this. It's just a phenomenal cause. They raise so much funds for awareness of this, and it's just something, you know.
When you talk about raising funds, if you remember last year, WA Blues followers that come to our functions, we're a non-for-profit organisation, WA Blues, and everything raise goes back to the club. And if you remember last year, we gave a $5,000 donation to Carlton Respects.
We did, yep.
So, and that's where some of your money goes when you come along for the functions, where you get the raffles and those type of things. That's where the money goes, straight to there.
And massive shout out to Alton D'Souza, ICU Finance. Every loan that he goes through, he donates $500 to Carlton Respects round as well.
Correct. So listeners, if you need a home loan, commercial loan, car loan, give Alton a call, 0407-998-768, because every loan, he'll donate $500 back to Carlton Respects. So good shout-out there for ICU Finance and for Alton.
It was actually good seeing Dennis Armfield.
That's exactly what I've just got on my screen now.
He actually come out during the week with his
baby.
With his baby. Obviously, still got the 27 Carlton Guernsey there that says Daddy.
Daddy, yeah.
And look, I think he was a part of the initial setting up the Respect program, I think.
That's correct.
So, look, I had a lot of time for Dennis. He probably wasn't the best player out there.
He was a cult figure.
You know when he went out there, soul, gave his heart and soul. So.
And that's what he goes on to say. Respect round means so much to him and he, because he was there in the initial inauguration of the respect round.
And he's done a lot for the Carlton AFLW side. Did he do a stint with North Melbourne?
He did.
Women's
side
as well.
So, guys,
fantastic for him. It's a great sort of all the players as well. You see them donning the respect shirt at training and all that. They're getting behind the cause. Yep. You see a lot of things on social media. They're promoting it and all that. So it's fantastic. I don't know what you reckon, Mel, but I'd love to see the orange CFC one day. Just for one game, a big orange CFC. Because I've seen, we've got the respect shirt and it looks kind of cool. And my old man's got the orange hat.
And they got the beanies. Yeah, is it also the beanies and socks? And
We can only see the socks, maybe getting the orange bang on the front of the jersey might be
good. I reckon, Jesse, I think you're onto something there.
We've done worse things, like wear those M&Ms.
Baby blue.
I think it would look really good too. And obviously, if the more we can get the awareness out, the more voice, I don't know. I've seen a few comments. I was speaking to my mum about it this morning. Saw a few comments on some Carlton things and people were saying, what's with your orange thing? And, your white and blue, your navy blue. And it's like, okay, well, they don't know.
This is about educating, and this is what the whole respect round is about, getting awareness out there to stop, try and limit domestic violence.
If any means, by making it for one game, just turning the CFC logo,
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You're an ideas man, Jesse.
I did ask for the constitution change. I did ask for the
constitution. Oh, we're not going there.
But they have come out.
Off the...
he's an ideas man.
What's the castle. Movie?
The castle.
You're an ideas man, Jesse.
Anyway, well done, Mel. And everyone out there, make sure you wear a bit of orange today when you're following the
blue. And all the WA blue baggers.
Bangers. Okay.
That are going to the Carlisle function today, make sure you've got your respect shirts on. Yeah. I know so many of you guys got them last year, so make sure you've got your respect shirts on. Yeah,
well done. All right, time now to go for a break for a few words from our sponsors. And when we return, we have 1995. Against the famous old dark blue. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. Now it's time to cross live to 1995 Premiership hero Matt Clappe. Good morning, Matt, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Morning, Chris. How are you going?
Very well, mate. Very well, mate. Mate, Matt, before I let the panel ask you some questions, could you just let the listeners know, what are you actually doing these days?
I'm good. Just finished three quarters of an hour doing a boxing session with Ryan Turnbull's brother, so I'm a little bit puffed. Yep. Trying to work off some beer and things like that. I wholesale household appliances, so we represent a few companies on the East Coast that sell into the likes of Harvey Norman and Good Guys and Retrovision. So myself and another guy have been in business for about 15, 20 years now. And, that takes up the majority of the time.
Yeah, no worries, mate.
Both weekends and days and things like that, yeah. So, and unfortunately, or fortunately, it's been going too bad with the COVID situation.
Good to hear. Yeah, I'll throw you over to Craig.
Hang on, Matt. Matt, you started your career with West Coast Eagles. In 1994, you were delisted. And then in the 95 pre-season draft, you were picked up by Carlton. Were you aware Carlton were going to approach you, and how did you feel when your finally name was called out to go to Carlton?
Was a surprise actually to go to the Blues. I played probably most of my West Coast career was going between West Coast and into the reserves, which was East Perth Waffle at the time, going backwards and forwards. So I'd spend a few games at West Coast, usually on the bench, come on for a quarter or so here and there. They were pretty strong. And then the next couple of weeks back at East Perth, try and get some match fitness and things like that. 94, played about six games doing that, so nothing much at all. West Coast were about pretty happy to sort of do the same thing the following year if I wanted to. But I'd had enough of that, so I'd... Trevor Nesbitt sort of denied an agreement where I said, oh, look, that's enough. I'll go into the draft. If pre-season draft, if nothing happens, I'll go and play footy at East Perth and be happy as. as it turned out, we were talking to Adelaide more than anyone. Had probably a spot lined up, and my wife and I would head across there. I spoke to Carlton once, I think, but at the time, Ken Judge was assistant coach, and he'd seen me play waffle because he was obviously coaching East Fremantle a number of years before that. So I sort of attribute probably his knowledge of me playing, getting me to Carlton at the end of the day, and literally driving down the freeway to work, and got a call from Parko to say congratulations. So it was a bit of a surprise, but it turned out a very, very good surprise.
Definitely.
Morning, Matt. It's Mel here. 95 was your breakthrough year at Carlton. Can you tell us what the feeling was like out in the 95 granny and taking out the Cats? And what were the celebrations like after the game?
Well, I can't really remember the celebrations. look, the year itself was unbelievable. Obviously, coming from my previous 4 years at West Coast, a fantastic club. But you walk through the door at Carlton and the first thing I noticed was the history. Generally, my sort of growing up, watched a lot of West Australian players come across and play in the VFL. And you walk through the front door of Carlton and there's Peter Bisasto taking a huge grab, big poster, walk down the corridor and there's Ken Hunters and Dorotiches. And, you know, there was basically West Australian greatness within the club and a massive history. So it was a sensational year, having lost two games, and then to be involved in the final series and the grand final was personally unbelievable. So, yeah, I celebrated probably a little bit too hard, along with a few others there that, you know, they had obviously missed out in 93 there as well and had a close year again in 94, but for them, the team to come through in 95 was sensational. A lot of guys there that were seasoned professionals in the likes of Kernahans and Bradleys and Williams, Silvanis, and then there was a few of us ring-ins, myself and Brad Pearce, Ricey, Spaldo to a lesser extent, but yeah, players that have come from other clubs to sort of top up those other players. It was a very good feeling to win, and as I said, I probably celebrated a little bit too hard, but it was one of those dreams come true, that's for sure.
Morning, Matt. You kind of actually answered my question a little bit there, but I was just going to ask, like, obviously walking into the club in 95, like, the players, the playing group had kind of been written off, saying they were too old, too slow sort of thing. What was it like walking in and obviously being around a group that was so determined? And I actually asked Peter Bisasto last week about, you know, the culture and stuff at the club. Can you give us a little bit of insight into that?
Yeah, look, I think the culture, I sort of sat, it was younger players, you know, your Ange Christou's, your Koutafidis, these sort of younger group. And then there was an older group of, obviously, the Kernahans and the Bradleys and the Gleesons who were married, had children. And there was a couple of us in the middle there, McKay, Rowan Welsh, who sort of newly married, no kids just yet, but we weren't sort of, you know, heading out to nightclubs most of the time. So it was just a really good mix of players. So, yeah, there was some older players, but by crikey, they were good older players and they were very experienced. And obviously, it's been told a number of times how David Parkin sort of used that knowledge and experience throughout the year to basically coach and have the players coach themselves on the ground, you know, choose selection, things along those lines, empower the playing group. So it was certainly one of those years that was probably out of the box and the results speak for themselves. But the feeling within the club was sensational. I mean, when you're winning each week, it certainly helps that. That's for sure. There's a lot of confidence wandering around, you know, midweek and things like that. When you're losing, which I've experienced as well, it's certainly not that nice. But, that year, there was a lot of confidence. The club did a lot of things for us to try and maintain that confidence, going, you know, spending some weekends away with your wives and girlfriends and, you know, just getting together and being a real sort of tight-knit group. whether you were 18 years old or 30 years old.
Hey, Matt, you must have liked playing against Collingwood in that first year in 1995, mate. Your very first game at the MCG, mate, you had a blinder, mate, three Brownlow votes, and then the follow-up game against the Pies, mate, another three Brownlow votes. You must have loved playing against the Pies.
Well, I think everyone loves beating the Pies, that's for sure.
Definitely.
Again, a little bit surreal, the first game, I think. Well, I look back now and I was probably happy it was the Pies because it was just a huge game, huge crowd, huge game for Carlton, and I was new to the team, about a month old, basically. So you're playing in front of 80,000 people, and I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder that, you know, someone hadn't given me a game for the past 4 years on a regular basis, so I had a bit of a thing to prove, I suppose. And, yeah, surreal that it turned out that well. And then, it's funny when you play against teams that you play well against, and then there's some teams that you just do not play well against, usually because there's a player. I think back to an Essendon and Damien Hardwick, basically, he had me every time, and I couldn't get a kick most of the games against Essendon. Then Collingwood wasn't a regular player I manned up on, and, had some good games there.
Yeah, it's good, mate.
It's funny you mentioned walking into Carlton, because I know when we fly back home, and I'm originally from Victoria as well, when you walk in there, you get goosebumps. But it must have been, you know, for you to walk in there and have players like Kernahan, Bradley, Silvani, Williams, these sort of guys, it must have been a pretty awesome feeling.
Yeah, look, it was, and they were sensational people and still are obviously sensational people. So, you know, they've been at football clubs for a number of years. They've obviously seen players come and go. So to have them sort of get behind you, and, you know, if you do what you're supposed to do, obviously during the week and then out on the ground, then they're right behind you because they wanted success. They'd missed out a couple of years before. A few of them there had tasted success in 87 and stuff as well. But, yeah, to walk in and have those players around you, and then a good, really good group of players my age, Andy McKay, I'm still good mates, obviously, with Andy McKay and his family. It was a real tight-knit group, and it was very hard to get to know Greg Williams, but he's a very funny man these days.
He is. We've had him on here a few times.
Mate, he has totally changed, hasn't he?
He has. He's found Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and stuff, and he found his voice.
Matt, you kicked 58 goals while you were with Carlton in just the three years, compared to 14 goals while you were with the Eagles in 2 years. Can you explain the difference between the clubs? And did this have a lot to do with playing alongside Stephen Kernahan? And do you have a favourite goal?
Well, favourite goal?
All of them.
I don't really have a favourite goal. I usually couldn't kick him from the boundary or anything like that, but I really did. When I was at Carlton, there was certainly one thing. I suppose I found a place to play as a half-forward flanker. West Coast, I would basically come off the bench and fill a hole if someone was injured or someone wasn't playing well at either half-back or half-forward or forward pocket. So there wasn't really a position in a sense. My background was probably more half-back flank, but there were certainly some good players playing half-back at West Coast with Woosher and Waterman and Pios and McKenna, and so there was sort of no real place to play. Going to Carlton, I suppose I made a half-forward flank position for me, so I'm not overly blessed with skill, so if you got a chance to kick a goal, then I had to make sure that was my mindset. I had to make sure that it was going to be a goal. So I practiced goal kicking all the time, got into a really regular routine, as in a goal kicking routine. And I try and sort of teach younger players when coaching my son and stuff like that over the years and his mates to do that when you're lining up for goals. And that was one thing. If you've come off the ground, you might have only got a half a dozen kicks, but if you've kicked two or three goals, you've really done your job as a forward and a half forward. and certainly playing alongside the likes of Earl Sporting and Kernahan and Pierce even, and you know, some of the other guys down in the forward line. Big Earl Sporting, he used to just crash the packs, and the likes of Ricey and myself and Brent Heaver and Hoggy, we'd just pick up the crumbs. So it was a bit easier, I suppose, than being a tall leading forward.
Matt, you won our Best Clubman Award. What was it like getting that sort of recognition from the rest of your peers?
It's one thing I look back on that, actually, and that was a fantastic award to receive because, yeah, I like to think that, you know, I brought something to the club on and off the field. And actually winning that one is, I don't think about it all the time, but every now and then you sort of remember that, yeah, look, won a Best Clubman Award at a fantastic club and surrounded by legends of AFL, VFL footy. So, yeah, I really am very chuffed with that award because, I suppose you get voted on by your peers at the club as well as the hierarchy. And to have won that, I really look back now and think that that's probably the second best thing I've done. Grand final, obviously, was a dream come true. But that's an award that I was really proud to receive.
Matt, because of your fantastic season in 1995, the following year, mate, you were honoured included in the WA State of Origin team that met South Australia at Football Park. What was that experience like representing your state at that level?
I've still got the jumper. It was, yeah, look, I probably don't class myself as a player that should have been playing for your state. I was growing up playing football and things, they were always the fantastic players within the state, whether they were interstate at the time or playing in WA. You know, your Brian Peakes and Cables and these sort of players that when you were growing up, they were the ones that played state football. It was a great experience. We played in Adelaide. We didn't do that well, but just to actually pull on the jumper for WA, and obviously living in Melbourne at the time and seeing a few guys that I hadn't seen for a little while was a great experience. Would have liked to have won, but playing against Campo and Kernahan at the time as well, that's always a bit of fun.
Mate, it must have been pretty satisfying for you after being delisted in 94, then to go out and win the premiership in 95. What was your emotion and how did you feel after the actual siren went?
It was a emotional time, end of 94. My now wife and I basically got married in November of 94, so we finished finished at West Coast and were sort of trying to work out a contract and play and a club and while we're on our honeymoon up in Indonesia. And then finally to get picked up by a club like Carlton, we're a little bit apprehensive because it's really cold in Melbourne. And we weren't used to that. So it was like, oh no, we're going to Melbourne. It's going to be freezing. But absolutely love the town. And going back to the town, or the city, I should say, these days. But going back there for a weekend and for a week, it's an amazing place. So was very apprehensive at first, but as soon as we got there, and I no words to explain how good a man Shane O'Sullivan is and was at the time. He was the head recruiter, and basically as soon as you lobby Melbourne, He's got you back. He'll do this for you. Come over here. Come to a barbecue with my family. Meet the coaches. He looked after us. And I'm got, and still do, got that much admiration for the man and the way he goes about his business. He's a fantastic fellow and really looked after my wife in particular when we were over there because, you know, I'm off training and playing and interstate, and you know, he made sure that she was included in wives' lunches and coaches' get-togethers and things like that. So it was a really humbling experience going to a club with that much history and that much personality, I suppose, is the word around the club. but all looking after you as you're part of their family now.
Mate, it's been great chatting with you. We need to wrap it up, mate. On behalf of the entire WA Blues community, thank you very much for sharing some great memories and for sharing some of your precious time with us today. And as always on this show, mate, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go the Blues.
Go the Blues. Thanks,
mate. Go the Blues. Thanks for having us. Have a great day.
Thanks, mate.
See you, mate. There you go. Matt Clappe, excellent, mate. Hey,
spoke well.
Spoke very well.
It's with the Blues. And they will know that they've been playing
against the famous Old Dark Blues. Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, and the man who personifies everything that bleeding blue means as we barrel shoulder first into the shirt front. I speak, of course, of none other than the hyphen, Mr. David Rees-Jones. Good morning, David, and how are we?
Happy.
Very good. Lockdown number 6. Things are going great here. It's fantastic, isn't it? Change your name, I think. Change your name from Victoria to Locktoria.
Mate, I was going to say I know how you feel, but I don't. But it is amazing because the same day that you guys were going to lockdown, I thought we were going in lockdown over here.
I know.
Because our Ein Führer called a snap media conference at 1:45 p.m. and about something COVID, and I thought, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
But luckily, we're still out and about at the moment. But yeah, mate, I don't know how you feel, and I just think I'm like...
Chairman Dan had his finger on the button. He couldn't wait to press the button. Back in lockdown. And actually, there's more cases today. I think 29 today. So.
Oh, no.
This one's going to go for a while too.
Yeah, that's not good. I'll throw you over.
No. Last week was... obviously, we're up and about because we got another win. But one person that's really doing a lot of the hard things for me, and he's very underrated, is Jack Silvani. Like, to go just be bang, chucked in the ruck, and again be competitive again, he's just certainly having a stellar year.
Well, he has a crack. You know, I think, you know, that's why we love him. He has a go. He shows emotion. You can see it on his face. He wants to win. He wants to. He's a proud, you know, proud to wear that Carlton jumper. And as you know, two Silvanis before him have also been. So, you can't question his character or his determination. And you know, I think that's what drives a lot of the other players too. It, you know, when they see Jack doing what he's doing, I mean, to come on and ruck for, you know, over half the game last week, and to pick up 25 possessions. He's like a ruck rover once he did the deck too. So he's been terrific. And, he sort of personifies what, you know, playing for Carlton should be all about.
Like, and there's also, what gets me is there's Chris's mate, Tom Brown, throwing out during the week that Carlton's underpaying him in the hope that they'll trade him. Now, obviously he gets his info from someone else, I think.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't know what's going on with that. You know, there's nothing, you know, there's no news around, so they've got to make stuff up a lot of the time. And, Jack Silvani won't be going anywhere. He's Carlton through and through, and the club wouldn't get rid of him, and he wouldn't want to leave. So, rumours start pretty early, he's been fantastic for us this year, and you wouldn't want to see him go because... as I said before, he personifies what you know, pulling that navy blue jumper is all about. But he goes out and has a crack, and that's what he's done from the, you know, the first game he's played. He's been criticised. He's had to come in Silvani's name and number around. And, so that in itself would have been tough for him. And but he's gone about it and stamped his own name and, you know, maybe not up to the heights of... your sauce just yet, but, you know, he's certainly having a go.
Definitely.
Morning, Hyfe. It's Mel here. I just want to get your feedback on something. It's not Carlton-related, but there was an elbow from Toby Green to Dangerfield last night, and then the week before we had Lance Franklin take out Luke Ryan from the Dockers. But But he got nothing. But he got he didn't even get a week and was free to play. They're calling that Toby Green's going to get 4 to 6, like 4 weeks or so, they were saying on the – what the heck is going on? And then they've also banned boxing and training. What the heck is going – there's no consistency with anything. I'm just – I'm perplexed with this.
Yeah, and I think it was only a few years ago where Dangerfield actually got off her elbow in a similar type of situation.
We were only talking about that just before the show. Yeah.
If I was going into the tribunal, I'd take that tape of Dangerfield getting off, on a very, very similar thing. So collisions happen in sport, and it's unfortunate. But you know, they're tinkering with the game as they go along. It's a bit like the COVID stuff.
As they go along.
It's just, you know, crazy at the moment. And just leave the game alone. It's in a good state. I think it's still good to watch, and they're trying to make it not so good. But you can't take all the physicality out of the game. But that's what they looks like they're trying to do.
Morning, Hyfe. How did you like the Blues' new forward line with obviously Charlie coming back, and this week we've got Eddie coming back into the fold, and I think it's the first time Charlie and Eddie will play a game together. So how do you like the new dynamic sort of forward line we have?
Yeah, well, it was better than the week before when we did that.
Absolutely.
Line,
so, yeah.
I think Cripp was our full forward and our go-to person down there, so... And it's good to see McGovern back. He kicked a couple of goals in the reserves last week. And that three-pronged attack, I think, the sooner we see that out there and playing games together on a regular basis, it's going to be a real handful for the back line of any team. And that's what we've really got to pin our hopes for the future on. But just really good to see Charlie just back out there. He didn't have a great game, but it's going to come. It's going to come. He's just got something special about him, and nearly 2 years out of the game, and he's going to be a real force down there with a bit of luck. And Harry, he's just going for the strength. So it's something for the players to aim at as they're going forward. Eddie will be licking his lips this week with a couple of quality big men to really feed off, and if they don't mark it, the ball will come down the front, and I'm pretty sure Eddie will be not far away. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right, mate. Look, a couple of weeks ago, yourself and us here, we were worried about that North game, and we thought it was a bit dodgy, but let's call it how it should be. We really should win this game against the Gold Coast. They've got a lot of people. We've got a lot of injuries, but they've got a lot of people out too. We need to step up. We've had that terrible game. We had a great game. We don't want to go back and have a terrible game. So this is where, and I'm your opinion on this one, this is where we really need our leaders to step up and make sure we get a good win against an opposition that's very undermanned today.
Yeah, well, the only way we get beat today is we beat ourselves. Yeah. We don't come out to play. We're not switched on. And these things can happen too. We have been up and down over the course of the last few years, and that lack of consistency is something we need to sort of straighten up now. And look, to be perfectly honest, we're still going to crack at the finals. We have an outside chance of making finals, and that should be in the back of the players' minds. There seems to be a lot of pressure on positions at the moment. Mark Murphy, he's been the sub for the last few weeks, and he probably will, they'll probably get him doing again this week to get him over the line for his 300, and Owies is out as well. So, there's a little bit of pressure on the players to retain their spots too. So that's always good. That's healthy in a football club. And we're playing good footy. I mean, it was a very good win last week, so we need to really go on with it this week.
Hyfe, do you think it'll be a little bit demoralising for Murph playing out his 300 games, like being the emergency sub?
Well, he could get stuck on 298. I ask him what he'd prefer, to get the 300 or be stuck on 298. So
yeah,
that's where it really sits. And I hate people being given games, but in some circumstances, you want to reward people for the effort they've put over a long period of time as well.
It was interesting that you brought up Charlie before. Even though he hadn't played for 2 years, he still demands that respect, that the defence have to go to him. And I thought it actually opened it up. I think it gave Charlie gave Harry more room to actually lead into. And instead of having, like he has been having, two all the time on him, he was getting one-on-one situations, which was good for us and good for him.
Yeah, and as I said before, Silvani's going to be probably down that forward line as well. He'll take the third stringer, and that makes him a dangerous combination. And as I mentioned earlier, I'd like to see McGovern in there before the year ends too, to earn his pay for a start, but also that should be our future forward line. Build around that. So. It's starting. The pieces are starting to come together, and I think we it's a time we should really get excited. So win a few of these games coming home. There's going to be a lot of confidence over the pre-season, and we can hit it running next year.
Yeah.
Did you like the looks of Lockie O'Brien back in the side and playing on the wing last week? Obviously, he delivered the ball quite well into forward 50. Do you think he'll go all right today? And obviously, he's got a big 3 weeks to come after today.
Yeah, well, that's the pressure's on him to hold his place in the team and establish himself. Because if not, he's at the crossroads. You know, if his form's not consistent enough at the end of the season, there's going to be some changes, and you don't want to be part of it because there's an exciting group of of players coming through at the moment. So. I think the future looks very healthy for us, and we should be. You know, today's going to be really a test for us in how we are mentally, anyway, because we should win this game easily, and it should be a game for players to really stamp themselves and stamp their authority on the game.
Hi, do you think Harry's definitely going to take out this Coleman now with Tex being out and, you know, Tom Hawkins is 10 behind for the Coleman? Is he a definite shoe-in?
Well, you never say anything in footy and Tom Hawkins is quite capable of kicking 10 in a match as well. So, look, he's on track as long as he plays the last three games. You know, that's going to be the other key too because he's shown when he's been out there. He's just a beast, but things can happen. But that's something I don't think even I think he'd prefer to have 3 wins over the last 3 weeks than a guaranteed Coleman medal.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Totally agree. Anyway, mate, all right, we better wrap it up. Mate, the good thing is down there, at least you've still got the horse racing's on the tally, you've got the footy, you can still have a couple.
We've got footy, we've got the Olympics, we've got everything at the moment. It's all happening, but unfortunately the Olympics finish this week, I don't know what we're going to do during the week. But anyway.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
Let's take down the Mighty Blues and let's have a real good win today.
Yes.
All right, you take care down there. Thanks,
cheers,
mate.
Thanks, bye. Bye.
See you, mate. Bye.
The hyphen. As always.
He's straight to the point.
I can tell you he's not happy being in lockdown. No. Anyway, I haven't got too long to go, but we do have an official function for the WA Blues today. We're at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery. It's 174 Rutland Street in Carlisle. Bounce down's 11:45. Function starts from 11:15. We've got to get out of this studio, rush home, get there and get down there and set up. It's a free event, of course. As I said, get down there.
Raffle prize brownie.
There'll definitely be a raffle prize now, but I don't know what it is yet. But as always, there'll be a raffle. And of course, members, bring your 2021 membership card in order to be in the free members raffle. And I don't know what that is either, Mel. I don't look after that part. Thank you. But remember, get down the Carlisle. It's a great atmosphere. You'll be with all Carlton supporters. We have no Eagles or Dockers after us, so we've got free air. It's all us, and it's put on the Carlisle really want us back there and they're really supporting us. So come along, get down there and hopefully we have a good win. Remember too, they got $7 pints. They got the $10 kid meals, which is good. Their meals includes their drink and dessert as well.
Yep.
They got the awesome food there. They've got
jugs,
the delicious
cocktail jugs.
They've got the delicious house made gin for you Mel?
Yes.
They've got $6 vodkas or Captain Morgan mixes as well.
And guys, those, the paddles. Got to try the gin paddles, mate. They're incredible.
Is the roast beef rolls back?
I hope so. I hope so. I hope they're there.
Are you going?
Not today, though. I won't be there today.
Why not, Jesse? That's not good enough.
Tell the story, Jesse.
I've been to about 10 or 11 in the Carlton functions in the last 2 years, and I've only been able to register one win. So
Jesse thinks he's a jinx.
I was walking into that North Melbourne one at the Shoe Bar, and I was going, if they stuff it up today, I thought we'll just have to pull the pin on a few events, and let's hopefully we build some momentum.
Well, we'll give you a call when we're singing the theme song and we've had a few beers in us.
I'll be constrained into the four walls of my home where I can,
you can
lose the plot a little bit.
There and
start of embarrassing myself in front of my parents and
that
every other
hilarious.
West Australian Blues supporter.
I sat next to Jesse at this North game and it was just comical.
I clearly had enough.
He left and he came back.
Well, I had my raffle tickets. I didn't even come back. I thought, I might win something here, so I better go back up.
So had to win something for the
I walked place. Outside and there was all West Coast supporters, right. So you could imagine what was going between us two.
Yeah. So get on down there because this is our second last one for the year.
Yep.
Last one's round 23 against GWS. Again, I can't give you a date or a day because the fixture hasn't been released all the time. So this is second last one, so get down there if you can. I know it's early, but get down there. There will be a great raffle prize, Mel. It'll be beautifully framed jumper by Master Pictures Framers. Yes, Carlton Respects round. Make sure you wear your orange. We'll definitely have our Carlton Respects shirts on, won't we, Craig? No?
Mine's a little bit worse for wear. Wear mine more, obviously, than what you guys do. So
we respect ours, Craig.
And so do I.
Everyone get online and order the Respect gear.
Because there's
some great merch out there now.
The socks look good.
I've actually ordered a new one.
Yep.
And I thought it would have been here for this round, but it hasn't turned up. Australia Post let me down.
Again.
Yep. All right. We better go. Thanks for another great show, guys. Always thanks to our great mate, David the Hyphen Reese Jones. Special guest interview, Matt Clappay.
Brilliant.
He
was really good.
Hope we can catch up for a beer with him at the Shoe Bar one day because he's a ripping bloke. So everyone out there, as I said, get down to the Carlisle and keep listening to 91.3 Sport FM. And as always, go Blues.
Go the Baggers.
They will know that they've been playing against the famous old dog.